الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Good morning. It's time for Understanding Islam, brought to you by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful, all praise and all thanks are due to Almighty God, the Lord of all the worlds. I bear witness that there is only one God, one Creator, to be worshipped, the one whom no one has ever seen, the one who provides all of our sustenance for us every single day. I bear witness that this God, no one has ever seen. I bear witness that He is the only one deserved to be worshipped. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, that he is the final messenger of God, the seal of all the prophets. And we ask that God's most choicest blessings be upon him, his companions, his family, all of the righteous prophets whom God sent into this creation to guide the human being back to the path of one worship, to Almighty God. I say also today, since we are in the beautiful month of Ramadan, I say Ramadan Mubarak to the fasting people who are fasting. I say that may God have mercy on us, the ones who are fasting, that He may forgive us of our sins, that He will accept our fasting, accept all of our charities, accept all of our good deeds in this blessed month of fasting. We're in the 19th day of fasting. That show you how fast the month comes and goes. And so there are great benefits in between that we should take advantage of. So our community is fasting. 1.8 billion Muslims around the world are fasting. The month of Ramadan is the 9th month of the lunar calendar, where God Almighty tells us when this month comes for us to fast, to stay away from food, drink, and if you're married, intimacy with your spouse during the daylight hours. So from dawn to sunset, the Muslim world is going without food and going without these things in order to please Almighty God. And the whole purpose of this fast is to become God conscious, to gain taqwa. Taqwa means to fear God, to become more God conscious, to become more closer to Almighty God through our acts of worship. This is what the whole month is about, to get rid of things that are not beneficial in our lives and to bring things into our lives that are beneficial for us. So the month of fasting is a very spiritual month. It's a spiritual journey. It's a sacrifice. It's a test. It's personal between you and your Lord. It's personal between you and your Lord. And we know historically that all of the prophets fasted. I mean, it is gaining discipline over yourself, over your desires. So fasting is a way of disciplining yourself, bringing yourself back in line with the way that Almighty God has created us. And God created us to worship Him and Him alone. Nothing created but to worship Him and Him alone. So the month of fasting for us in the month of Ramadan is a very spiritual fast. And we know there's a lot of people in our community, converts, that we have to explain this to our family members and to our relatives and different things like that. What is the month of fasting? Because they see us change up our diet. People, when we go to work and we're not eating lunch and different things like that, it's a great opportunity to explain to people why we're fasting, what the fast represents. It's a beautiful month. There's all positive in the month of Ramadan. And so it's a month of forgiveness, a month of mercy, a month of trying to become closer to Almighty God, the one who sustains us. I want to just give a few announcements before we begin. I want to say about our classes that we have all throughout the year. They are going to resume on March the 24th. That is our Aqidah class and our Quran class that I teach. It will start back on March the 25th. So our classes will come up. Several people have confronted me and talked to me and said, when our classes start back. We canceled them during the month of Ramadan because the month is so fast paced. People are doing so many things. So we decided to cancel them like we do every year, and we start back after the month of Ramadan. I just make the announcement again about our iftar, breaking the fast. We're breaking it every evening at 1408 Cemetery Avenue, and this is the facility right next to our mosque. So food is being served every night there. And I want to say that other people are welcome to come. I mean, especially if you are a convert and you have family members that are non-Muslims, it's a great opportunity to bring your relatives and friends and let them have a free meal. Sit down and eat with everyone. It's a good opportunity to give da'wah, to let them come and see the community. This is for 30 days that we do this. So it's a good opportunity, and we're still doing it. 1408 Cemetery Avenue, we have lots of food from everywhere. I took a whole trunk load of food. We have so much food. We're not going to throw it away. So I took a trunk load of food last night to homes in our area, and I do this periodically. When we have just so much food, I take it and give it to the people that's close to us in our neighborhood, 11th Avenue, and people down on 14th Street and Main and Central. We try to service the people around us first. So we have a lot of food sometimes that's left over. Nice food, fresh food that we give away. So we have plenty of food if you want to bring a guest or whatever to our facility to eat in the evening. You're most welcome. Also, I want to put out the invitation. We have a lot of people come to our facility to see what Islam is all about. They're studying. Basically, the masjid is open the whole month of Ramadan. And in the last 10 days of Ramadan, the masjid is open for people who want to perform itikaf. That means people who want to seclude themselves in the masjid for the last 10 days of Ramadan. You're most welcome to do that. I mean, we don't do that the rest of the part of the year, but it's a sunnah. It's the way of the Prophet and his companions that they did this in the last 10 days of Ramadan. If you have the ability to do it, then the masjid is welcoming you to come in and stay those 10 days inside of the masjid at 1410 Cemetery Avenue. And also, if anyone out there who has been studying the religion and you want to accept the religion of Islam, I meet many people sometime who know a lot about Islam. They've never taken their shahada. Shahada means acceptance, bearing witness, entering the fold of the religion. That's what shahada means. It means to bear witness. When you say shahada, ashadu, it means I bear witness. So we say ashadu and la ilaha illallah. I bear witness that there is only one God. Wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And I bear witness that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the messenger of God, the final messenger of God. Whoever makes this statement, they have entered the fold of Islam. You're a Muslim. You're a Muslim. We don't have baptism, submerging people in water and doing other type of rituals like that. The way you accept Islam is through a statement of knowledge. A statement of knowledge. You understand, you are aware of what you are saying based on your belief. And so it is a belief, it is a contract that you're making. You're saying, I bear witness that I'm only going to submit to one God. Nothing I can see, nothing I can feel, nothing I can taste, but I'm only going to submit to the one God whom no one has ever seen, who created the heavens and the earth. That's what the statement means when you say, I bear witness that there is only one God, the God of Jesus, the God of Muhammad, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, of all the prophets. He is the Lord of everything. And then you say, I bear witness that Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, he is the final messenger of God. Not the only one, but he is the last. From Adam was the first, Muhammad was the last, and we believe in all of those in between. When a person makes this statement, they are a Muslim. Alhamdulillah. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever makes this statement and stand upon it, die upon it, paradise is yours one day, one day. So I always open up the lines and say, I know there are people out there who are on the verge. If you ever like to take your shahada over the air, you could do it. I think it motivates a lot of other people to call in and say, I want to take my shahada. You're very welcome to do it. And I also just wanted to open up the lines today for anyone who want to call in and give a comment, a statement about of fasting, you want to take your Shahada. The number is 423-642-9393. 423-642-9393. It'd be a beautiful thing to accept in the month of Ramadan. Ramadan is such a blessed month where any good deed in this month is multiplied over and over again. So while I'm on the air today, if anyone has a comment or you want to take your Shahada today, you're most welcome. We say Ahlan wa Salam. You're most welcome to do that. You know, it's a great thing to meet people who, like myself, you know, came up in an ideology that really wasn't consistent with the revelation of Almighty God. And so after studying and studying, this is what Islam is all about. It's not based on a feeling. Islam is not a religion of feeling. It's not a religion, you might say, of logic. But it is a religion based on what Almighty God has revealed to the human being. And he has revealed to the human being that we submit our will to his will. We submit our will to God's will. And any human being who submit their will to God's will, the God who created us, then they will live a successful life. And in the hereafter, God says that the home of the hereafter will be better for them than in this life. We're going to take a short commercial break, and when we come back, we will get into our topic for today.
You are listening to the Understanding Islam Show, sponsored by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation. The Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation is a nonprofit organization established since 1995. The purpose of the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation is to provide accurate information about the religion of Islam from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon him. The Understanding Islam radio show is hosted by Hamad El Amin and airs every Sunday in Chattanooga, Tennessee and Dalton, Georgia. The Understanding Islam radio show also gives businesses and individuals an opportunity to provide beneficial information to our community by appearing on the Meet Your Muslim Neighbor radio show, also sponsored by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation. If you would like a Quran, a copy of a radio show, or any Islamic literature, call 706-459-1010 or email them at understandingislam411@gmail.com. They ship all of their materials to you free of charge. If you would like to attend one of their classes, which are for Muslims and non-Muslims, call 706-459-1010 or email them at understandingislam411@gmail.com. For additional information, visit their website at www.uidf.org. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam radio show. Now back to your host, Hamad El Amin.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ramadan Mubarak. Peace be upon you, and may all of the fasting people have a blessed fast today and a blessed Ramadan. We ask that Almighty God continue to help us and keep us on a path that is straight, a path that is moral and righteous, and a path that is being submissive to the Lord of all the worlds. Now, one thing I wanted to cover today to let people know that the month of Ramadan is not just about reframing from food, these physical things. It's more powerful than that. It's the internal part of us that Almighty God is focusing on. But outside of that also, one of the greatest things that happened in the month of Ramadan is that the Quran was revealed. We can't forget about the Quran. It was revealed in the month of Ramadan. The Quran is the book of the believers. It is the revelation. It is the last revelation that came from Almighty God to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. Now, we've shipped out many, many Qurans over the years. Over 30 years, we've sent out many, many Qurans. I want to thank the Furqan Foundation for supplying us with Qurans. It's such a blessing now that we don't even have to pay for them anymore. Don't even have to pay for shipping anymore. And they produce millions of Qurans that they send out to different organizations. And just like the organization we have here, the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation, they ship us all of our Qurans free, and we give them out free. You might see people on the street sometime giving out Qurans. We ship them everywhere. We ship them everywhere. So the Quran is the last and final revelation of Almighty God, and it came during the month of Ramadan. God says in the Quran, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr." Indeed, we sent down the Quran in the night of power. So the night that the Quran came down, it is called the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. It means the decree, the night of the decree that God sent down the revelation of the Quran. So many people ask sometimes, you know, I used to go to these, I would be invited to the church groups, Sunday school, where they eat breakfast. And they have the Sunday school classes and different things like that. I've been invited many times in this city to come and explain what Islam is, tell us about Islam, and tell us about the difference of the Quran and the Bible. Tell us about Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, and on and on and on. I mean, I think the people were very sincere. If they wasn't, they wouldn't invite us. And we go in many places where they invite us to speak about Islam. So many people ask, like, what is the difference between the Quran and the Bible? We call it the Injil, the Bible. And there are many differences, really. What if you ask any Muslim what is the miracle of Islam, they're going to tell you it is the Quran. It is the revelation that God sent down, just like he gave revelation to Moses, just like he gave the gospel to Jesus Christ. We believe that. We believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Injil. We call it in the Quran, the Injil, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. We believe that. But unfortunately, there is no chapter in the Bible called the gospel of Jesus. And you can look in your Bible and check me. You're not going to find a chapter in that that's called the gospel of Jesus. You have the gospel of St. Mark, John, so forth. But the gospel of Jesus is what we believe in, because Jesus Christ, we believe that he spoke the truth. We believe that he invited his followers to the worship of one God. Hear ye, O Israel, your God is one. I of myself can do nothing. So we believe the teachings of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus, but it is not found in the Bible. That is one of the big differences that we explain to people. That is one of the big differences that we try to explain to people. But because what Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, taught is basically law. Some of it is sprinkled throughout the scripture if you study the Bible. I study the Bible. Many Muslims study the Bible. I mean, I came out of the church. I was raised in the church. So I see the other side of it. And I know for sure there's no chapter called the Gospel of Jesus. But there are many statements in the Bible that exist that we believe those are the words of Jesus Christ. And what the Bible printers have done today, they have printed in red ink verses that supposed to be the statements of Jesus. They call them red letters. They sold more of those Bibles that are red letters than any other Bibles, because these Bibles are supposed to outline the statements of Jesus Christ, and they're in red. And if you put them all together, it wouldn't come up with a full book. Jesus Christ's ministry was just maybe 2, some people say 3 years, some people say less than 2 years, but whatever his ministry was and his teaching was, we as Muslims believe in it. We believe that he is the Messiah. We believe that he is the anointed one. We believe that he is the miracle that God Almighty performed with his mother Mary by making her become pregnant without the assistance of a human being. We believe that as Muslims. We don't believe that Jesus had a father, an earthly father, and we don't believe that God is his father. Just like we don't believe that God is the father of Adam. Adam didn't have a father. He didn't have a mother. And we don't say Adam is the son of God. So we believe Jesus Christ was a mighty messenger of God. He is the Messiah. He is the prophet that God Almighty sent to the children of Israel. We wholeheartedly believe that. See, the Quran outlines this, and it tells us about the life of Jesus Christ. So to get back to just some of the differences, that when people asked us, like, what are some of the differences with the Bible and the Quran, I just want to outline maybe 5 of them real quick. One of them is that the Quran was revealed to one prophet, and that is Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. And it took 23 years for the revelation to be complete with him. 23 years. It just didn't come down one time with him. No, it came periodically throughout 23 years to him based on the situations and circumstances that he found and his companions in. And what that meant was it strengthened them at the time. When laws came down, when they was in certain questionable situations, you name it, God began to reveal those verses. And that's the beauty of the Quran, is that you can read the history, the explanation of why those verses were revealed. So one of the differences, the Quran, 23 years, it was revealed to one prophet. And that is important, one prophet. And I will say that we as Muslims, we accept and believe that God sent revelations to other prophets other than Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. We believe in the Psalms that God sent to Dawood, David. You know, we believe, like I said, the Injil, the gospel. We believe in the scrolls of Ibrahim, alayhi salam, Abraham. We believe in that. We believe in the authenticity of those scriptures, not scriptures that has been tainted. No, we don't believe that. And that's why some people get confused today. They say we don't believe in the Bible. We don't believe in it as it exists today. Many Orthodox Christians don't even say that it is authentic book from Almighty God, because the hands of man have went into it and changed so many things. They even will agree to that. So that's not something unusual. If you study, you will see that. But people who, you know, they don't spend their time studying, and I'm not putting shade on them or anything like that, because you have millions of just lay persons who read the scripture as it is. They don't go any deeper than that. They don't go any deeper than that. And that's where the confusion come in. And their leadership is definitely not going to take them out in waters like that, because they're going to discover some things that's not consistent with what they preach every Sunday. So they definitely not going to take them out in an area like that. But people who do study, you know, historians of the scripture, people who learn the language to get into the meat of what Jesus Christ taught, they see and they understand. They see and they understand. So the Quran was revealed to one prophet versus the Bible. It was written by many authors. And you see that, you have to know that, that there were many authors who wrote the Bible. There's over 66 books in the Bible, 66 books in the Bible. And with the Quran, there's one book. Just showing you some comparisons, and this is what we give to the people when they ask us the difference. I mean, they come into our facility all the time, just like this morning a guy came in, and we have a table set up at the entrance of our mosque or masjid with all type of Islamic material, Qurans or whatever. You can walk in there and get what you need free of charge. So that's one big difference, because we're talking about the authenticity of God's word. How do we as human beings live? We live by God's word. That word has to be pure. If that word is not pure, then it can take you off the path of God's word, and it will put you on a path of other words of people. To make it simple, if you're not on the pure path of what God has revealed, then you will find yourself on a path that the devil is exploiting to make you worship something other than God. It will take you to a very dark place if you don't have the pure word, because the objective is for us to go to paradise. How are you going to get to paradise if you're not on a pure word of God that's going to take you there? So that's number one, that the Quran was revealed to one prophet who could not read, nor could he write. And the beauty of that is, so nobody can say that he went back and read the scripture that came before him. So many people in his society at that time in the 7th century could not read or write. So Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, he could not read, and people knew that for 40 years. The Quran did not come to him until he was at 40, age 40 in his life. So people knew him. And this was another beautiful thing, how God planned this, that for 40 years, people knew the man, They knew his character. They said he never lied. He was a good moral person. He always helped people. He resolved disputes among his people. And then the Quran came after 40 years, and he said that there's only one God. You shouldn't be worshiping these idols. You shouldn't be racist. You should give women their rights. And the people said, well, he never lied to us before he said he was a prophet. What benefit would it be to him to lie to us now? So the Quran came to him, to a man who could not read and write, one person, versus the Bible that has many, many authors. Many, many authors. What is another difference? The Quran has been memorized from cover to cover by millions of Muslims. It has been memorized in its original language by millions and millions of Muslims. Versus the scripture, the Bible scripture, no one has ever memorized the Bible. And I don't think they ever will, because there's so many versions of it. And the reason the Muslims can memorize the Quran verbatim is because you only have one version of the Quran. And I don't care where you travel in the world, it's in the original language. You can go to China. I was watching these Chinese the other day on YouTube. And man, they have mastered, many of them, the recitation of the Quran. It's just weird to see that, you know, in China and different parts of Asia. And what ties the Muslim world together is the language, the Arabic language. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, what language did he speak? What language did he speak? He did not speak English, and he didn't speak Greek. And when they translated the Bible, or supposed to have, they did it in Greek. I mean, he was a Jew. Jews don't speak Greek. So you have a lot that was lost in that translation. Anytime you translate something, you're going to lose a lot of the meaning of it. You're going to lose the meaning or some meaning of it anytime you translate. Even when you translate Arabic to English, or Arabic to Spanish, or Arabic to any other language, some words cannot be translated. So Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he never spoke English. I don't know why people won't believe that when we say it. I know I've told people that so many times, and they refute that. You should look it up and see when English even began to be a language. It wasn't in the day of Jesus. Jesus spoke Aramaic. Beautifully, it's not really spoken much this day, but it's very close to Arabic. If you look in the Bible, if you want to kind of see the language he spoke and how it spoke, look in, I don't think it's Matthew, but look when he was supposedly on the cross. And when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They didn't write that in English. They wrote it in the vernacular of his language. He said, illa, illa, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken? They put it in his language. Illa, 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 illa means my God. Just like when we say Allah, Allah, it's the same word. It is the same word. So he didn't speak English. He didn't speak Greek. And that is one of the big differences, that you have the scripture today in English and many other languages, but is not in the language of Jesus Christ. So the Quran, one of the differences is that it's still in its original language that is spoken by hundreds of millions of people today. It's still a live language. That is one of the differences. So the Qurans that we give out are mostly all English. And we say that is really not the Quran, but it is the meaning of the Quran. We can't say that it's the Quran because Allah says that the Quran was revealed in Arabic, in the Arabic language. In the Arabic language, a pure language. So what we give out to people is the meaning of the Quran. And it's very beautiful to see people who come into the religion of Islam. And they have very bright minds, let me say that. A lot of these young people who are accepting Islam today have very bright minds, meaning that it's easy for them to comprehend, to retain knowledge. And when it get into the language, many of them take off with it. I mean, many, it's so easy to some of them to learn the alphabets and learn and begin to read the Quran in Arabic. And I'm not talking about years. I'm talking about 3-6 months, a year. Man, they can read the Arabic just like very beautifully. And I think that gives, it gives me hope, because the generation that's coming up today, they have very bright minds if they would just use them the right way. I was speaking with a brother from Sudan last night. Sudan. We have a lot of Sudanese in our community. And we were talking about language. He spoke five languages. Five of them, five languages. And he asked, like, about the Americans. Well, most Americans, we speak one language. Most, the majority of Americans speak one language. You find other cultures, they're always going to speak more than one language. So learning the language is very important in our religion. If you want to get to the root of something, and many people who study historians will tell you this, even Christian historians, they don't just study the Bible in English. No, they study Greek. They study, try to study Aramaic. They go deep into the language because they know that's where the truth is. They know that is where the truth is. So that's two things right there. Memorization. Consistency means that you can memorize something because it's not going to change. So there are millions of Muslims, children, who have memorized the whole Quran at the age of 7, 6, and some of them even younger than that. And so the Bible scripture, there's no one have memorized the Bible verbatim. The other difference in the Quran and the Bible is that the Quran was written down immediately. Immediately. So when the revelation began to come to the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, what angel brings the revelation to people, to the prophets? What angel? The angel Jibril. We say Gabriel in English, Jibril in Arabic. His job is to bring the revelation to the messengers of God, to the messengers, just like he brought it down to Moses, and just like he brought it down to David, just like he brought it down to Jesus Christ, just like he brought it down to Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's his job, to bring the message to those prophets and those messengers exactly how God gave it to him to do it. And so when these revelations begin to be revealed to the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, who could not read, who could not write? His followers, a selected followers, those who could read, those who could write, those who were educated, they dictated and wrote down the verses of the Quran. And they also memorized it. So imagine if the verses are coming to him and they came periodically, like I said before, in different places, different circumstances. And when it came, the people knew something was happening. They knew something would was happening because he would change. And once the verses came to him, his followers, he recited it to them. They immediately wrote it down and they recited it back to him. This is the preservation of the Quran. So it was written down immediately. And this is most important. It was all finished in his lifetime. It was all finished in his lifetime. So Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, he completed the Quran. The Quran was completed with him before he died. And when he died, there were no more revelations to come. None. When he died, the revelations that was coming from Almighty God ended. And it is the last revelation. There will be no more revelations coming to the human being. And that's why you do have some people believe that God is revealing things to them and God is, prophesizing and giving them different informations about this or that. many religions, you know, the Mormons and other people believe that they are prophets and God is revealing another book. Oh, absolutely not. The Quran is the last revelation of Almighty God. And you might say, well, why you say the Quran is the last revelation? And other people can say that their book is the last revelation. Well, you know, the proof is in the pudding. God says, if this book would have been from any other than God, surely you will have found many contradictions in it. If this Quran was from any other than the Lord of all the worlds, Almighty God, surely you would have found many contradictions in it. I ask you, have you ever in your life seen the Quran on any network, any radio program, with any scientist, with any doctor, explaining and pointing out a contradiction in the Quran? The answer is no. Because God says he will protect the Quran. He will protect it to make sure the authenticity of it stay preserved. So you have all of these other books that people might say that have come. But when you read them, there are so many contradictions, inconsistencies, and many other things. That's the proof. Anything that came from God is going to be pure. Anything that God revealed is going to be pure. It's not going to change. When you're telling the truth, you don't have to try to remember what you're going to say. That's just like when somebody go to trial. He doesn't have to do a lot of preparation on what he's going to say, because he's just going to tell the truth over and over again. It doesn't matter how many times they asked him. They're going to get the same message and the same story because it's the truth. But when you're lying, you got to try to remember what you said 10 minutes ago when you're lying, because you can't remember and keep yourself straight. But when it's the truth, you don't have to think about it. You're going to give it to them like that 1,000 times because it's the truth. And that's the way the Quran is. The Quran is preserved by Almighty God. And that's what God is saying, that anything that comes from him, that it's going to be pure and it's not going to change. So that's one difference here, that the Quran was written down immediately and it was completed in the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And I want to just add this thing in here too, because you do have people now on social media that tries to, I mean, they spend their life really trying to find some crack in the Quran. So they say, well, this happened then and this happened then and it was changed then. But the truth of it is that really debunked their argument is that if the Quran was changed many, many years after the Prophet and peace and blessings be upon him, many, many years after his life, and you have all of these Muslims who have memorized it verbatim, word for word, why didn't the message get to them to change their memorization of the Quran? If it changed, you have Muslims all over the world, in Africa, Asia. Why didn't they change? No. So that debunked this argument that years later somebody went back and changed the Quran. No, because people, what's in your mind and the way you have learned how to recite the Quran and you have memorized it word for word, that never changed. So it was written down immediately. Versus the Bible scripture, it was not written in the life of Jesus Christ. It was not written in the life of Jesus Christ. This is another difference. And this is the third difference that I'm mentioning now. That Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, never approved the Bible that we have today in the world. He didn't approve it. He never seen it. He didn't have anything to do with the production of it. And that's just a historical fact. And I know the older people are going to maybe reject that. But the people who study the history of Christianity, the history of religion, they will have to submit and be honest and say, you're right. And one thing I like about Christian historians is that they take their time They spent hours and hours and hours dedicating themselves to learn the language and learn the history of how different scriptures were put together. And they will admit to you that there was no thing called, no book called a Bible in the life of Jesus Christ. And Bible, I think it's a French word. I could be wrong. But Bible simply means books. That's what it means, books. If you walked into a bookstore and you say, I want a Bible, they say, well, which one do you want? Because you're saying, I want books. That's what it means. So that is another difference, that he never seen the Bible. The Bible was written many, many years after his life. It was brought about many, many years. And I had some of the time frame here, like Mark, for example. And this is coming from Christian historians. I mean, once you find the truth, give it to the people. Mark was written between 65 and 70 years after his life. They didn't have anything called the internet. They didn't have any machinery that preserved verses and things like that. People was writing verses and scriptures and stuff on bones and different other things. They didn't have, you know, printing press and to preserve books and things like that. No, they didn't have any of that. You look at Matthew, was written 70 to 90 years after Jesus Christ. Luke was written 80 to 90 years after Jesus Christ. And John was written 90 to 110 years after his life. So you know how many things can get lost like that. So that's one point I wanted to point out, is that the Quran was written down immediately. It was finished in the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. It was complete, 114 chapters completed. Versus the Bible scriptures that we have today, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, never saw it, never witnessed it. And I will give you a clue. I mean, if you are in type of investigative person, one of the biggest clues of who authorized the Bible today, just look on the front of it. It'll tell you it was authorized by King James. It didn't say it was authorized by God. It was authorized by King James. And there's so much history about King James that we won't even get into it today. That's another whole different show. I do know that we're not even going to get into about King James today, but that's who authorized it. So those are three things already about who it was revealed to. The Quran was revealed to one prophet, versus the Bible was written by many, many authors. And I know people just get upset about this. I know you do. I know you say, here he goes again. I know you don't like it. But it's not meant to try to disrespect anybody. We're talking about facts and history. And I don't know why anyone would get upset about facts and history. If I'm wrong, prove me wrong. All you have to do is just study for yourself. These are facts that I'm speaking about today. I'm not making it up. So I know some people feel this disrespect, but it's not disrespect. I mean, these churches invite us in to tell us about what I'm telling you about today. Give us the difference. And many of them will submit to that. So when you're studying religion or studying anything, you have to remove the emotions out of it. There's nothing sacred about your emotions because you've been a Christian for 50, 60 years and it's the way you believe. And many people say that about their faith, but it's not. It has nothing to do with emotions. All it has to do with is the truth. Jesus said, know you the truth. And what did he say? It will set you free. It doesn't have nothing to do about emotions. It's the truth. Just like right now, if somebody tell you the truth about your history, that's just like people get upset about, they don't want to hear nothing about slavery. You get a lot of Caucasian people, they say, here you go again. That's all y'all talk about. They don't want to hear it. But it's the truth. It upsets them. And anything that you keep bringing up that people don't want to hear, but it's factual, that's a problem within those people. And just like what I'm speaking about today, it's nothing disrespectful. It's the truth. And most people are not going to discuss this with you like this. Now, I was in the church all my teenage years. I got relatives and people right now that's Pentecostal, you name it, all over the place. They're not going to discuss this. I've never heard them discuss this. And if you want to discuss it with them, they're going to get emotional. Start preaching to you. Start testifying, speaking in languages, different languages they don't even understand. Because they are deflecting the conversation of truth. They don't want to hear that. You know, you're messing with my joy. They don't want to hear the truth. But this is the truth. And the truth is good medicine. It don't taste good sometimes. You know, it don't go down well sometimes. But if you accept it, it will make you better. If you accept it, it will make you better. So let's look at number four. I just pointed out a few differences here. Is that the Quran has one version worldwide. You're never going to see different versions of the Quran. Never. There's one book. And I've mentioned it already. It is in one language. It's one book. And I don't care where you travel or where you go, you're going to find the same book. Versus the Quran, the Bible, it has multiple versions. You know, Revised Standard Version. I mean, there's hundreds of them. If you type that into Google or ChatGPT, you're going to find hundreds of versions. Because what is a version? That's what we need to understand. What is a version? And this is why you have so many contradictions in the scripture. Even Christian historians will tell you about contradictions. And one thing I like about these people, some of them are not religious. A lot of the Christian historians, some of them are not religious. Many are not religious. So when they're studying out of a passion to understand the little nuance of the scripture. Where they come from, how it was explained, how we get to this point to another point. So they're going to, when they study, they're going to give you what they find, because they saying, I don't really have a fight in it at all. I just have a passion for historical documents. So there are many versions. So what is a version? A version is like a different opinion, the way someone sees something. It's like two cars run into each other in the intersection. And you have five or six people witness that accident. When the police pull up, they're going to ask, who saw the accident? One person is going to give you their version of it. Another person is going to give you their version of it. And on and on and on. Another person is going to say, no, I didn't see it like that. I saw this other car run the red light. Another person, no, I didn't see it like that. I saw the other, because they're coming from different angles. And so the police have to now try to decipher who's telling the truth. And how does they do that? They actually take evidence from the physical cars, skid marks on the road, and all about speed. They can investigate all of that to come up with the truth. But my point is, everybody has a version. And God does not send down versions like that to people that he wants to guide. God sends down the truth, not versions, but he sends down the truth. So that's where the contradictions and things come in, because anytime you have a scripture that was put together, people came together 100, 200 years after Jesus Christ and began to compile historical facts about him and statements that he made, you're going to come up with many contradictions. You can take 10 people right now, and we used to do this in training. You can line them up against the wall. And the professor would whisper until, let's say you got 10 people. You can number them 1 to 10. The professor would whisper something in number 1's ear. And number 1 is supposed to tell number 2 what he whispered. Number 2 tells number 3 what the number 2 whispered to number 3, and so forth, all the way to it get to number 10. I promise you, when number 10, when the professor say, okay, number 10, you tell me what I told number 1. it's not going to be anything like what he told number one. Because people leave out words, they come up with their own version of what the professor told, and when it gets to number 10, it's a whole different thing. So imagine 100 years or 200 years after Christ died or left this world, not died, but when he left this world, people begin to come together and put things together, and you're not going to have the correct statements of Jesus Christ. If you want the correct statements of Jesus Christ, you have to read the Quran. Just to be honest with you, you have to read the Quran. So versions, there's 66 books. Not only that, I don't have enough really time to go much further. And I wanted to just say, when you get to versions, you get into this right here. The Protestant Bible has 66 books. And that's what most people carry around with them today. The Catholic Bible has 73 books. So where are the other books that the Protestants don't have? Where are those books? You have the Orthodox Bibles. Orthodox Bibles. They have 81 books. You see how many books are missing? And we can go on and on. You have the Gospel of Barnabas. Is there a Gospel of Barnabas in the book you have right now with you? No. But who was Barnabas? He was a blind follower of Jesus Christ. He was a blind servant of Jesus Christ. One of his most upright students. Barnabas loved Jesus Christ. You know what? In the Council of Nicaea that they had, that's another whole subject. It would benefit a lot of people if they would read it. The Council of Nicaea that was established in 325, you know, with Constantine, they threw it out. They threw out many books. The argument was when they had this meeting, when Constantine brought all of these bishops and popes together, what the council debated about, listen what they debated about. And you should, if you want to really learn about the life of Jesus Christ, read about the Council of Nicaea, N-I-C-A-E-A. The Council of Nicaea, that's in 325. This is when Constantine brought all of the people together and said, we are settling this today. Nobody is leaving. And they stayed there a while. No one is leaving until we come out of this meeting with one ideology. What did they debate about? Two things. They debated about, is Jesus God? That was one topic. The other topic was, is he divine or was he created? Was he divine and was... Now, just imagine they're debating to see if Jesus is God or was he created or was he divine. And they came out of the meeting saying that he was divine and that he was God or the Son of God. And many of the other bishops and popes disagreed with it. They say, well, that's where you get the Protestants, because they protested against that. And many people were killed, executed, who went against Constantine's decision. So there was a big split up. So knowing these historical facts about where they came from and when it happened, I mean, it only brings you closer to the truth and can bring you closer to Almighty God. Now, the last one I'm going to mention here, which I've already discussed in this topic so many times today. The last one is that the Quran has no contradictions in it. No contradictions. And this is one of the things that we can really brag about, really be proud of, to say there's no contradictions in it. I mean, there have been people who have learned the language just to study it. Scientists. So many scientific verses in the Quran that can be disputed. Over 1,400 years ago, science today say it is right. I mean, with all the technology today, all of the statements in the Quran is making in the scripture, scientists can go back and debunk that. But they haven't, because these verses are correct. And there's so many that people say there's no way that this could have come from a human being in the 7th century. No way. So these are I mentioned five things today that the Quran displayed. Number one, it was revealed to one prophet. Two, it's memorized by millions and millions of Muslims. Three, it was written immediately, and it was complete in the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. Four, it's only one version of it. One version. You're not going to find two or three versions, but one version, Quran. And number five, there's no contradictions in it whatsoever. And this, when I tell you, for me, when I was young, maybe 10, you know, having to go to church all the time, Sunday school, basically, and then church. We went to Sunday school first, and then we stayed for the service. But one thing in our class that not only me, but I, you know, all of the young kids of my age, like 10, 11, 12 years old, when they gave us our books to read on Sunday, number one, we were amazed at the images that they put in there. I think we were pretty bright kids back then. They had pictures of everything in there. And one thing we noticed, that none of those pictures reflected us. And we used to talk about it. So, man, wasn't there black people back then? None. And the content or the context of the books that they were giving us, it made us so inquisitive to ask questions. And this is one of the things that really stand out to me today. Those people who were in charge of us, the Sunday school superintendent, our Sunday school teachers, they couldn't answer those questions for us. They put us on a emotional ride or a spiritual ride to tell us, you just have to believe, son. You just have to believe. And that's not good enough, just to believe. We have to know knowledge. We have to understand. We want to know the why. What is the why? As kids, my generation, that's what we asked. Why are all these images in here like this that doesn't even reflect us? Why do it say this and we're doing this? And this is the inquisitiveness that we had within us as young children to ask these questions. And I thank Almighty God for one thing, for having people that would listen to us. Even though they didn't give us the answer, they gave us the time. They didn't just shut us down. They did listen to us, but they didn't provide that answer. So what I'm providing today is historical facts. And the Quran that I've been talking about today, it is available to the world. It's not a hidden book. And anyone who would like one, all you need to do is just text me. You don't even have to call. You can just text me your address and a name. You don't even have to give me your real name. I know how some people are. Just text me your address and I'll send you one. And you can sit down and read it probably 2 or 3 days if you like. But I'd rather you sit down and take your time. And you will see the beauty in it. You will see the guidance that Almighty God has given to the human being. You're not going to find anything racist or biased or anything where God is being discriminatory toward people. No, it's a beautiful scripture. And anyone who would like one, just text me. 706-459-1010. 706-459-1010. Or go to our website, UIDF.org. Until next week, I leave you with the greetings of peace of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You have been listening to the Understanding Islam Show. If you would like a free Quran, a copy of this broadcast, or any Islamic literature, please call 706-459-1010 or email us at understandingislam411@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam Show.